You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
Hello, my name is Curtis Marshall, and you are watching The Best Practices Show. Boom!
Hey guys, thanks for watching The Best Practice Show. We take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over the world. So grateful you're watching. And today, if you're running a great dental practice, one of the things that you have to have in running a business is great data. And I got my good friend, Curtis Marshall, on from Dental Intel, who's a brainiac when it comes to numbers. And we're going to be talking today about the two key metrics that are critically important when you're taking new patients and you're making them active patients. Because you can flood your practice full of new patients, but if you're not keeping them, what good is that? Now, before we get started, a couple show notes. We are shooting this live on Facebook. So as you're watching this, if you have questions, add them to the feed and I'll dish them to the man right away and we'll get the answer from him while he's on. And then continue to add questions like all of you do after the show, because we want you to get some, want you to get the most out of this. And also too, like I got a lot of suggestions yesterday and even a few this morning on shows you guys want to see. Keep sending them to us. Got some great clinicians lined up. You're going to love this. We're now up over 38,000 followers. Thank you for all the shares. Thank you for all the iTunes things. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We're just having a lot of fun doing this. So my guest today, Curtis. Now, Curtis, you and I have been friends for a long time. You have been an incredible educator for me and friend and helping me understand the magic behind the numbers. But if people don't know who Curtis Marshall is and what Dental Intel is, can you just give us a little background?
Yeah, thanks, Kirk, and thanks for having me. I truly feel blessed to be a part of your life. You help out the dental industry so much, so thank you.
Hey, it's mutual, buddy. Thank you.
My name's Curtis. I've got a background actually in communications and marketing, but I get to work with dentists across the country. I've got three beautiful girls and love summer. It is summer right now. Sun's out, guns out. So if you're ever in Utah, let me know. I'll take you out on the boat. We'll go have a good time.
Hey, that might be the key, because we were talking about this, you know, yesterday was the official first day of no school for my family. And like, it's Grand Central Station in my house. I'm like, stop it. Everyone quiet. And I'm starting to realize that, it's just how it goes. And I've been doing this for a long time. So amen. I just might show up by you. So cool. Now let's talk about, if you don't know Dental Intel, what is Dental Intel? Can you give us a little background on that too?
Yeah, simple. We are the best at helping practices grow. We have a software-based, we are a software-based company that provides actionable data to front office team members and also owners on what to do today, not just what happened in the past, right? Reports are great, but the whole definition of a report is to say what happened. Well, unless you're Marty McFly, you can't change the past.
Right.
So one thing we want to do is we use analytics to tell us what to do today to improve patient care and team performance. And that's the whole goal of Dental Intel, increase patient care and team performance.
Absolutely. And when you get the team involved, they can see the data. Now you can make unemotional decisions about what to do next to improve your practice. And one of the key improvements, you know, everybody's reaching for this. This is a hot topic all the time, is new patients. Let's talk about the why behind this concept that we're going to discuss today. Curtis, why is this so important now more than ever?
Kirk, that's so interesting you say that, because new patients are crucial. And that's a number that we've been focusing on. I remember when I first jumped into dentistry, marketing was kind of a taboo, right? It's like, oh, you market? Like, oh, what's wrong with you, right? And when I jumped into dentistry, that's what I was doing, is I was doing marketing for an office. We were getting 400 new patients a month. It was a big practice, right? And it could sustain it. It could have, if we knew the numbers better, we could have known more. But we were able to get 400 new patients a month. Now, that's something we bragged about, right? That's something we bragged about. But something was missing. Taking good care of the patients. We were able to see that we got 400, or that we got 350, or however many new patients you're getting, we were able to see the number. But how do you track active patients? Now, the headline today is what? Two keys of
taking new patients and making them active patients. But first of all, let me just say this. 400 new patients a month sounds terrible, okay? Now, this is my opinion. You don't have to agree. But new patients, we often joke on the inside, being coaches or consultants, they're the worst. They don't show up. You know, it's a 50-50 chance. You know, and you're also compensating by taking time with new patients. Now, everybody needs new patients. Don't get me wrong. But just shooting for that number is not always a good science. And what you guys have learned by tracking this data is that when you understand the metrics behind this, when you get somebody in, you can now keep them, which a lot of dentists are not aware of. They're only focused on get them in.
Correct. And so, I mean, we've spoken in the past, and one thing that we notice is, hey, you want new patients because you want to increase your active patients.
Right?
Well, if you're getting new patients only because you're losing patients, that means that the patients aren't getting good care.
Right.
I now know, and Kirk, you know, that a cleaning is a must for oral care. Right?
Right.
Most of the public out there, I go out to the freeway and hold up a sign and say, how often have you been to the dentist, right? Most of the general public does not understand the importance of even just a regular cleaning. They just don't get it.
Right. And are they supposed to? We could debate that for a long time. But the bottom line is, most team members don't have a system or some data that they're held accountable or given to be able to track, because everybody knows that it's less expensive to keep somebody than it is to attract some. But again, it goes back to a system when you build a dental practice. Now, let me say this one more thing, because I love this topic. You and I could go for hours. If you're a mature dentist watching this, this is even more important for you, because the valuation of your practice is really going to be built on a couple things. One of them is going to be net profit. The other one is going to be true active patients. And so understanding these two metrics as you continue to grow, is retention is a huge factor in here. And when your team is not informed or not aware of these two metrics, it becomes a problem further down the line.
Now, once again, Kirk, that number was not new patients, you said. So people now don't look when they're buying practices.
Right.
They used to look at the new patients. How many new patients are you getting?
Mm-hmm.
We are now a lot more educated with numbers. It doesn't matter how many new patients you have. You mentioned that it's the number of active patients as well as net profits.
Right. And I could go off on a riff on this one, but 99% of the coaches the practices we coach, they don't need one more new patient. Now, some of them do. There's a few, but most of them just need to do a better job of retaining them. And when we talk about some of these metrics, they start to get good at them. 6 months into it, they're already complaining, like, I got nowhere to put these people. It's about now, you got to remember, too, people are calling your office all day long. So how do we get them in, and how do we keep them, and what should we be aware of?
Okay. So as we get a new patient, and our ultimate goal is to what? To make them you kind of were mentioning it, is an active patient.
Right.
So what is an active patient?
I don't know. Why don't you tell us, Mr. Data Guy?
Well, the data says an active patient is somebody who's been in the office in less 18 months. They've had a completed appointment in less 18 months. But that's not my definition of an active patient. My definition, Kirk, is somebody who comes in for their cleanings and who accepts the treatment and refers friends and family. That's my definition of an active patient. Everyone is going to be a little bit different. But in speaking and working with offices, you're probably somewhere in the middle there of either the 18 months or patients who accept treatment coming regularly and refer friends and family. What would be your definition, Kirk? And I haven't asked you this before.
Well, the definition industry-wide is active patients is the 18-month threshold. Now, depending on who you speak to, they have made an appointment, kept an appointment within the practice within 18 months because data shows they fall outside that window. They're going somewhere else or they're not going anywhere in that case. Now, you threw in two more, accepting treatment and referring friends and family, because if you can track those two data points, add them to the first one, I'm going to say we need even less active patients than what the so-called experts would say, because now you're talking about taking one dentist who might need 1,400 or 1,500 patients down to like 800 or 900 because they're doing all three of those things. But let's not go there. But that's now how do you evaluate those three things? Number one, they're keeping their appointments. Number two, they're accepting treatment. And number three, do you guys have a way of tracking specifically and giving a point system to each one of these or not?
So the third one, that's coming out. There's a way to look at it, but there's actually a better formula out there. We're coming up with the best algorithm for it. And that will be coming out soon. But what we'd like to talk about today are the two keys of making new patients become active. And the two keys of making sure a patient is active is, number one, making sure that they are rescheduling for a hygiene visit.
Bam. Now, this is a big one because some of you go, oh, yeah, they're all scheduled for hygiene. No, no, no. A lot of times people schedule appointments as a first, you know, their first visit, and the doctor's talking restorative to them, and they're not tethered to the practice with a hygiene appointment. Give us some perspective on this.
So you got limited exams would be a really good example of that, right? Somebody comes in for a toothache. They yank a tooth. Maybe they do it that day. They pull the tooth out, same day treatment, or they schedule it out for a couple days, or maybe they don't even schedule anything out, and they say, I'm going to call you back for the tooth. Mm-hmm. We are not within the United States, we are not focusing right now on making sure that they leave with a future hygiene appointment. And we know this, Kirk, because out of every 10 new patients, guess what the average is of patients being rescheduled for hygiene? And I didn't tell you this.
You always set me up for failure because I'm thinking it's going to be something good, and then you blow me away because I'm way off track. Because, again, you guys are tracking now more than 4,000 practices that keep this data. I mean, are you up to 5,000 yet?
We should be hitting 5,000 this month. So, yeah, okay. We're excited about it.
So you get to see this. And so out of 10 new patients, I would say at least 5 of them have a hygiene appointment in the United States. Would you agree with that? Or am I close?
That would be fantastic.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Awesome if only at least 50%.
Okay.
Now, before I tell you the number, what should it be at? If I see 10 new patients.
I'm going to say 100%, but everybody knows 100% is probably not obtainable. Let's do 90%. I think, you know, out of 10 people calling your office, they should stay. 9 should stay. Is that fair?
80 to 90, I think, would be super healthy. Right. Hey, I'm educating this limited exam on getting them to come in. I'm making sure that somebody comes in for a cleaning, stays here with me, right? Whatever the situation might be, I am actually getting them. 80 to 90% is what we're seeing on the best performing practices.
Okay, what's the average though? If I guess 50%, I'm not even close. What is the average?
20 to 30%.
Come on, 20 to 30% of the patients that make an appointment today will actually be retained to a dental practice, or new patients
that come in today, only 20 to 30% leave with a hygiene appointment.
So as you can imagine, this is a huge opportunity in dentistry just to improve that number. We're not looking for perfect here, but let's say your practice is average and you get 30% of them scheduled with a hygiene appointment. Can you imagine what you would do if you got it to 40%, 50%, or 60%? Now you're crushing it. You probably cut back on your marketing budget too.
Not just with money, but we're crushing it by helping the public understand the importance of dentistry now.
Right.
Right? That's where the win is. The win is making sure that these people understand, the public understands the importance of dentistry.
Right.
It's not necessarily about the Ferrari in the garage.
Right. So can I ask you a question? Because a lot of people are watching this, they're going, Curtis, I totally agree. Number one, obviously, you're going to suggest we track the data. You know, if you don't use dental intel, you got to use something. Dental intel is my favorite.
I don't care.
Number two, when new patients call, let's give them the solution. You got to get them scheduled for not only the doctor, but you also have to get them scheduled for hygiene at some point. Now, depending on the vision of the doctor, you might say, well, the doctor doesn't like to mix that. That's fine. Nonetheless, both boxes get checked. Agree or disagree?
100% agree. So let's think about it this way. When is the most important time that you can educate and make the importance of a hygiene cleaning, educate an importance of a hygiene cleaning to a patient? When is that time? Is it over the phone? Is it in an email? Is it in a text? No, it's when they're in the office.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the best time. So if they leave on the highest time that they can get an appointment, they leave without one, we've lost it.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we've never focused on new patients' risk, not just hygiene new patients. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about all new patients. Where are you at on getting all new patients scheduled for hygiene, regardless?
Right. Right. And this is powerful too, because again, if you just start tracking this, the first thing you're going to know is you're going to get stressed out. It's going to stress you out. Number two, you're going to find natural ways to improve it. And you're going to find that your schedule is going to become more and more busy. I totally agree with this. And also, too, a lot of times that are taught things that are taught in seminars is how do we consistently follow up with patients and stalk them after we've discussed restorative treatment. And inevitably, these people stop returning your phone calls. So what a great way to slowly grow your practice by making sure that they always have a hygiene appointment.
Oh, not just hygiene patients, every patient. I can't tell you how many times we look at the data and we look at patients who left without an appointment and they've never had a hygiene visit. Is that because those patients don't need cleanings?
No, it's because the office doesn't have a system.
Correct. And we've never looked at that number before. Yet, in order to make active new patients become active, that's the first thing. Do we want to drill down more on that? We can, but I don't know if we need to.
No, I know we only get you short for a short period of time, and we've got so many other shows that I want to shoot with you on this topic. So let's just make sure the first key everybody understands, all new patients have to have a high support.
Now, if you want to see where you're at no charge, Kirk, the people who watch the Best Practices show, they get a free look-see, right? We're going to grab their data, and I can show you and tell you last month, how many new patients left without a hygiene appointment? So right. If you want to know that number, there should be a link. We'll put a link at the bottom somewhere on how to do that, right?
And we have a link in this, and Curtis, this is free. And I will tell you that a lot of people get upset with this when they look at it because they're upset because they get to see numbers and they're like, no way. Now, you can't stay there. The thing that you've coached me on is it's all about opportunity. Let's find out where we're at. And then we're going to examine opportunities where we can continuously grow. Because the worst thing to do as a dentist is just to sit back and guess, because you're going to make yourself crazy. Because all the guessing, you're going to fill your head with the things that you don't know. Data calms you. So that's number one. Now, key number two. What is key number two?
Key number two is making sure that patients accept treatment, right? That was my definition of an active patient, making sure that they accept treatment whenever we present it.
Right.
So, now,
okay, keep going.
No, so that's the second one, is we're going to look at case acceptance on a new patient. Do they accept something small or big? I don't care. Are they accepting any form of treatment?
Right. Now, everybody's going to watch you to define this. So when we talk about treatment acceptance, these are things, items that are entered into the treatment plan, and they're discussed and presented that day. And that's where the integration comes in. You guys track that, right? How do you define acceptance?
Automatically track that. Yep. So we say, was it presented in the treatment planner today? And secondly, for accepted, is it completed or did it get scheduled today?
Okay. Did it get scheduled today? Okay.
Scheduled today, right. So we want to know, hey, for case acceptance for new patients, did you present treatment? Yes or no? That's the denominator.
Right.
The numerator, the number on top that we're looking at is, did they get accepted today? Or any of that treatment, small or big, all of it or a little bit of it,
mm-hmm.
today, or do they schedule it in the future?
Right. Because you've seen this happen before. People schedule it without it being accepted. I see that all the time. I'm like, the patient has no signed financial arrangement. So you're finding a way to be able to track both of these so that it's covered.
Correct. Yep. And that's done automatically. You don't have to track it. It tracks it by provider, by hygienist, and you can even do it by treatment coordinator too.
Right.
But so the first question is, out of new patients, what is that percentage of case acceptance? And with our existing patients, where is it for a case acceptance?
Yeah.
The average office, just with regular patients, is accepting about 55 to 60% of patients are accepting something small or big.
Okay. You mean it's not 100% like everyone thinks it is? Okay.
No, it's not. And we're just talking about a filling. Let's say you present them $10,000 worth of treatment and they accept a filling. That's the first step of case acceptance. Did they accept anything?
Right.
We can get more granular, but we're just looking at top level.
Right. You're looking at top level because this question will come up is that you guys are so great at tracking not only the number of patients that have said yes, but how much each patient says when they do say yes. And so it's important to track both of those because you can look at your effectiveness in both of those areas.
And the average of what you're presenting. Are you on average presenting $2,000? Are you on average treatment planning $1,000?
Right.
Right. So you can look at both the new, once again, the denominator and the numerator on both those.
Right. Any other key things that would help us understand that second key on, you know, helping patients become active patients when it comes to
acceptance? We looked at the existing patients accepting treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Now we want to know what are new patients accepting? What percentage of new patients are accepting treatment?
Well, if existing patients are between 55 and 65%, new patients have to be less than that, or are they more than that? What do you guys see?
That's the ultimate question. What we're seeing nationally is that it's higher.
It's higher. So how much higher? Are you looking in the 70s, 75%?
We're in the low 70s.
Low 70s. Okay.
So now we got low 70s that people are accepting.
Okay.
Problem with that is that the dollars that are being accepted are much lower.
Okay.
Right. So if I present $1,000 to an existing client and I present $1,000 to a new patient, they're going to accept it. The new patient is going to accept something more often than the existing patients. Right. Why? Because we are just taking good care of these patients, right? We're giving them hugs. We're showing them around the office. We're giving them a new prize. We're doing everything just for them to, like, it's our new little toy that we're, you know, have in our toolbox, right? That's why they're saying yes more often, but they're saying yes to less dollars.
Right, right.
So if I present $1,000 to an existing patient, let's say they accept $500. If I present $1,000 to a new patient, they're accepting $200. It's 20% of the dollars we're presenting are accepting.
Okay.
20% of the dollars. Now, the people are accepting quite high, set low 70s.
Okay.
But the dollars are super low.
Okay. As you always do, my brain hurts when we talk, but that isn't saying a lot. Now, if I'm a dentist watching this and I'm like, Curtis, okay, I get it. How do I use this data? Okay, so I get it. If I use Dental Intel, are you using them every day? Are you using it? How would I even begin to talk to my team about tracking both of these? Do you ask team members to report this on a daily basis? Like, how do you use it?
In the morning huddle, it tells you every day what happened so that you can now improve today, or you can make a task for somebody to reach back out to that patient.
Okay.
Right? So every day there's something going on. Hey, what happened yesterday? Now moving forward today, we have Johnny, Susie, and Tim coming in as new patients. Let's make sure we don't do that again today with these new patients. And with those new patients that we saw yesterday that did not accept or only accepted a little bit, what was our hurdles? What was our problems? What was our struggle? Why didn't they say yes? Oh, they didn't say yes because of financing. Yeah. Well, if financing is an option, the problem, do you have care credit? How are you presenting it? Are you saying that this is so expensive, patient? This is so expensive. It's like $3,000. I don't know how you pay for it. I couldn't pay for it. So I don't know how you can. How are you presenting the dollars, right?
Right.
And that's something that you guys dive into, but it's
I think the big thing too is sometimes dentists or team members watch as well and they say, oh, you guys are all talking about money and it's all about, no, it's not. It's talking about data points because again, Curtis, I'm going to go back to the vision of your company is number one is how do we improve patient care? And number two is how do we drive higher levels of team engagement? What a great opportunity to do this in a morning huddle and just talk about data and say, how do we better improve what we're doing? And one more thing that I'll add about case acceptance, really a lot of times people don't say yes to treatment because it's not talked about. That's the number one reason. I mean, patients are coming into anybody's office totally healthy all day long. Oh, wow, everybody's healthy. Nowhere, you know, no pockets, no nothing. This is great. You know there's plenty to do in almost every dental office. So this is a great opportunity. Just sit down with your team, talk about what you see, and then talk about how we get better as a team, right?
Yep. So hey, track those two numbers.
Yeah.
New patients with a hygiene appointment, new patients accepting treatment, not even worrying about the dollars first, just making sure that they accept something.
Right. I always joke, you know, data is so cool because even on our phones, we have an app called Game Changer for our fourth grade baseball team. So like if you can track fourth grade baseball players on their data and put kids in the right batting corner, I mean, you can do it for your patients too because it allows you to be able to perform better as a team. Data helps everybody. I couldn't imagine a world without great data, and we're so grateful. Now, I know you got to run, Curtis, but I'm so grateful for every little bit of education we get from you. And every time I peel back and look at these numbers, I learn so much more, and I'm just grateful, buddy. So thank you so much.
You know, keep up the good work. And everybody, if you want to know those numbers, let us know. But remember, just track manually if you have to. How many of your new patients left with a hygiene appointment?
Right.
If you just do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so Lori Owens is chiming in because we both know her. What a great friend of both of ours. She says, one of the things is we also make assumptions about how they will react. And so you want to limit the assumptions and all
Thank
these things.
Thank you, Lori.
She says, love Diddle Until. Well, we love Lori Owens too. So it's great. You. It's awesome. Well, cool. Just like Curtis mentioned, we've got a link right in the body of the post. You can click on it. It'll take you to a hidden webpage. You can sign up for Dental Intel. It's free. Curtis, takes a couple minutes, right? How long does it take?
Less than 5 minutes to sync with it. So we grab your data, 5 minutes. We can look at it together and show you, hey, this is how many new patients you had last month or last week or last quarter. And out of those new patients, how many left at the future hygiene appointment? And how many accepted cases?
Yeah, it's awesome, buddy. Thank you so much. We'll stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for watching. And if you enjoyed today, which I hope you did, just do us a favor, hit the share button, share it with your friends. And until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys have a great rest of your day.